everyone. Welcome to Wood with Handles, the baseball podcast for fans by fans. This is episode 22 for the week of September 9th. I'm Ryan.
I'm Josh. Before we get started, how has your week been?
It's been very busy. A lot going on this week. Had a good weekend though. Been kind of relaxing. You know, wild cards are bouncing back and forth. The Tigers are sucking it up a little bit this week, but hey, I know we're a baseball podcast, but the only football team in the world that matters is the Michigan Wolverines, and they won yesterday, so I'm good there.
So is that the only football you watch this weekend?
Yeah, literally the only football I've watched this weekend, and it's most likely the only football I'll watch for the rest of the year.
I see. Getting started this week, biggest news probably to either of us, probably not necessarily the biggest baseball news, but biggest news for the two of us as fans of this team, Pittsburgh Pirates had their 81st win, which means they are officially their first winning season in over 20 years.
Yeah, you guys couldn't see it, but I was over here fist pumping. I'm pretty excited about this. Major step in the right direction, and they're just not going to finish above 500. They're going to finish way above 500 and most likely get into the playoffs. And good for them, because it's definitely a step in the right direction.
I for sure thought they were going to crash and burn. I was saying it up until a couple weeks ago. I'm still shocked that they did it. I mean, awesome for them. I like the Pirates. I wouldn't want anything bad to happen to the Pirates. It's just what they do. And I know we all say it. Well, it's what they do. And that's all the only reason we say it. But come on now. This is what they've done for over 20 years. I mean, they've always had brilliant streaks during middle of seasons and then just completely faltered.
They haven't stayed as hot in the second half. They haven't been as good, but I mean, still, they built themselves up enough of a lead. I don't think they're going to win the division, but nonetheless, they're going to get in the playoffs, which is good in my book. And once you're in that one game playoff, and even in you're in the playoffs, anything, all bets are off and anything can happen.
What about Justin Marneau? That seemed to work out really well for him.
Yeah. I think they got him more for playoffs, but we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, It's insurance. Like we talked about last week, it's icing on the cake. I mean, it's nothing but good for him. You mentioned the Pirates probably not winning the division, but going to the wild card we talked about last week. We'll probably talk about it every week until the end now, which is only a couple more weeks.
2 weeks, two and a half weeks, 3 weeks.
Yeah, but how do you see the National League Central playing out for the rest of the year?
I think the Cardinals are going to win it. I think the Pirates will win that other Pirates in Cincinnati. I think we'll both get the other two wild card spots. But I really like the Pirates. I've been a huge fan. I've said it all year, and I'm going to keep saying it. But there's just something about St. Louis that they seem to really turn it on at this point in the season. So I fully expect them to win that division.
But St. Louis plays like
then for the other two wild.
But St. Louis plays like shit against other National League Central teams.
Yeah, that's true. And typically they haven't been good against the Pirates. I mean, I think they won 2 of 3 in this last series. Is that correct?
I'm not sure what they took in the last series.
Yeah, they typically haven't played well against the Pirates, but I think that's the last series that they have with them. But
I think they play the Reds some more, though.
Yeah. I think it's definitely going to be one of those that's going to come down to the last couple of day type deals. But I think the Cardinals will win it, and then the Reds and the Pirates will be the other two wildcard teams.
Yeah, I think it's pretty safe to say that that's where National League Central's where the National League wildcard's coming out of. Because I don't think there's any team who even stands a chance on the NL West other than the Dodgers. And really, I mean, the Nationals played a few good games there, but the Nationals aren't coming back in the East.
They're 7.5 back with, 3 weeks left to go here. And I think it's too much for them to overcome right now. Yeah, they just dug themselves in too much of a hole.
Bryce Harper's out and hurt again. I mean,
and it's day to day, but I mean, still not having him in the lineup hurts.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it before when he's been out and hurt. I mean,
the team has a different complexion.
Yeah.
Kind of like Miguel Cabrera and the Tigers.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously we talked a lot about that last week. I went on a little bit of a rant about Miguel Cabrera and how without him,
you may have been a little right.
Yeah. How they weren't really going to be able to survive without him. I mean, it was really a huge week for teams in the, I guess, American League Central. I mean, it allowed the Indians are now one game out of a wild card spot right now.
Two right now.
Oh, that must have changed today. As of this morning, they were one game.
They're tied with Baltimore right now, so they're two out.
And, I mean, this is kind of a bad for the Tigers. I mean, the Tigers are going to make the playoffs no matter what. And the Tigers are going to be a good team in the playoffs. But if Cabrera can't get healthy, I mean, he's shown that he's been able to hit through hit through this injury, whatever it may be, because they're being very secretive. They're saying lower body. But
sounds like a football injury. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the people that I've articles I've read and other baseball podcasts I listen to are saying it's probably a herniated disc or some kind of hernia.
Something that will probably be a bigger issue in the offseason.
Yeah, but I mean, and he's been able to hit with it, but like, if he's not 100%, they got some issues. And I mean, there's some things the Tigers could do. They could, I mean, I was listening to Baseball Tonight, their podcast, and so one of the things they mentioned was a lot of position moving around. It would have been, I believe, what they suggested, and you can tell me if this makes sense, because I don't know the Tigers well enough, but it was Kevin Iglesias at shortstop. When Peralta gets back, move Peralta to third base. Miguel Cabrera would be DH, and Victor Martinez would be catcher, and Avila would basically sit the bench.
I'm fine with that. And the other thing is, they always have Don Kelly, who is kind of a position player for all, I guess, a utility man, who can play there as well. But, yeah, I think that makes the most sense, and to have Peralta move over. Because he's going to come back. They're gonna put him back on the team. So obviously they have nothing to lose right now, and they're going all out. But Miggy can't be playing in the field right now. They need to rust him as much as possible to get him geared up for the playoff race, and maybe even still in the playoff race. He's good at third base, but he's not as good. So I think they definitely need.
Yeah. I mean, this scenario would come in and mainly in the playoffs, because Peralta won't be back till the playoffs. So yeah.
He'll return with like three games, I think it was.
Oh, okay. Well, it's basically finding a solution to allow Peralta and Iglesias to play at the same time, allow Miguel Cabrera to not have to field at least every day.
Yeah.
The big concern that I was hearing was Victor Martinez's ability to catch. He's only caught two games this year.
Yeah, but he was really good when he did it. And he said afterwards, it's the whole riding a bike thing. You never really forget how to do it. I mean, you just got to get your body and your mind mentally prepared to do it.
Yeah, I mean, To me, on paper, like, obviously I'm not a diehard Tigers fan, but as an outsider looking in, it makes sense.
It makes all the sense.
I think you'd be foolish taking Iglesias out.
Oh, yeah, and he's their best defensive fielder by far.
And it would
even close.
It would be hard in my eyes to see them benching Peralta. So it would be like, okay, so you keep him, if you don't change anything, the only thing that you could do with Peralta other than take out Iglesias would be to put Peralta at DH, but then you still need a spot for Victor Martinez.
Well, the only thing you do is maybe move Martinez to third and then have Avila catch. I don't know if that makes much sense, but I think that Peralta will probably come back and play third. They're just going to have to get through till the time when he can return. But I mean, we touched on this a little bit last week. Miguel Cabrera changes the way that pitchers pitch to that roster. Because when he's not there, there's essentially it's Victor Martinez and then Prince Fielder in the middle of the lineup. Prince Fielder then has no real protection in the lineup.
I mean, and Prince Fielder is awesome. I mean,
but he's no Miguel Cabrera.
Exactly. I mean, he's going to get you hits and runs. And I mean, they're going to make the playoffs. And even if Cabrera, hypothetically, and I know this is not going to happen, but let's say Cabrera is done for the year. He's not coming back in the playoffs or anything. The Tigers are still going to make it to at least the American League Championship, if not the World Series, even without Miguel Cabrera. They're a really good team. They're just significantly worse without him. And without Miguel Cabrera, they're not beating the Dodgers. They're not beating the Braves.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I guess there's nowhere left for – I mean, we're just kind of beating a dead horse here. But I guess there's nothing left for me to say on this. But, yeah, like you said, it changes the whole complexion of the lineup because Miguel Cabrera does so much for that team. And even when he's in there, it gives that team just that extra boost in the middle of the lineup because they know when he comes up, there's always that possibility that with one swing he could tie or win a game. And he scares the hell out of whoever pitches against him. It doesn't matter who it is. It just – when Miguel Cabrera is in the Tigers lineup, it changes the whole complexion of the game, plain and simple.
There's always the question of do you play him anyways to
– I don't think you can.
To hope he gets that second triple crown?
No. I think right now the World Series is more important. The Triple Crown, obviously, I don't think it's going to happen. It would take a lot of – I think – is he still four behind
Davis? How many does he have? Because Davis has 48.
I think he's stuck on 42. He hasn't played – he hasn't hit many, so.
Yeah. Davis has 48. He's two away from 50, which would be the Orioles franchise record.
Oh, wow. Home runs, I guess it says 48. Cabrera has 43, so, I mean, he's still five away.
Yeah.
But I think right now it makes all the sense in the world to not go after the Triple Crown and just try and rest him as much as possible. Maybe not play him every day, but play him every other day. Or else give him a couple days off here, play him for two straight days, give him a couple more days off.
I think that's what you're going to end up seeing because they have, I think it's like eight games coming up against the White Sox here. Obviously, my White Sox are not anything to be worried about. They're a terrible team and really a joke in all of baseball. I don't know why people give the Astros and the Marlins as hard of a time as they do because the White Sox are way worse. But the White Sox are also a team that could really
fuck somebody's season up.
Yeah. Because they have nothing to lose.
And the Royals are trying to do that right now, the Tigers this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, the White Sox have nothing to lose. Tomorrow it's Chris Sale versus Max Scherzer. Chris Sale's really, really good. They could do some damage against the Tigers. I don't think they're going to win and either series because they have – the Tigers are coming to Chicago and then we're going to Detroit. And I don't think we'll win either series, but if – I think one of those games is a four-game series. If we take two of those four, and then if we take one of those three from the other series, that's three games against a team that's 24 games back.
Yeah, right now what's important for the Tigers is not to limp into the playoffs. They need to gain a little bit of momentum going in because if they lose a couple of series here, I mean, it looks bad on them. And it's kind of like, all right, now we need to pick it back up and get mentally back into it. So they need to go in on a positive note. They can't go in losing series after series after series and just kind of back into it. Yeah. I mean, they built up this lead, and they need to keep it there and maybe even extend it a little bit just to show that, like, hey, you know, we're here. We're into it. They just can't lose whatever focus and motivation they had. Now they know that it's all – I guess you would say it's all but sewn up for them. But you can't go into the games thinking that, oh, my God, we've got the sewed up. We can just kind of coast in right now because they can't.
Yeah, I mean, in theory, they could – I mean, I know they can't just not win any games, but they only have a few games to clinch. And, I mean, realistically, the Indians aren't catching them. They might – and this is stretching it. I'd say they might get a wild card spot, but the Indians aren't really a threat. The only thing that's going to happen is the Royals or the White Sox or the Twins. I know basically for the rest of the AL Central here, we all just play each other for the rest of the year.
Yeah,
I mean,
yep, exactly.
That could really, really just screw up your momentum and your mindset going into the playoffs.
Yeah. The thing is, and I mean, not just the Tigers, but if the Cleveland Indians are going to make it, they need to beat these teams who they're supposed to be beating. And if you don't do that, you're not going to get in. But the Tigers, if they can't beat teams in their own division right now, it's not really a good look for them because it's going to get a lot tougher from here on out. So they need to clean up and beat these teams that they can beat. But, you know, like I said, they can't limp in.
Absolutely. Just talked about Miguel Cabrera being injured. But something that's not so much of a shocker, but to me, I guess, seems like it's a bigger deal than what the media is leading it to believe. Matt Kemp was just indefinitely put on the DL. He's out for the rest of the season. Basically, Don Mattingly made the decision that he's not coming back.
Wise choice.
Absolutely, but up until like 2 days ago, he was coming back in like a week. We were figuring out how we were going to have an outfielder with like the seven outfielders that they have. Like, how is this going to work? And it just like kind of out of nowhere, like was like, oh, by the way, he's not coming back. I don't know where this come from. I don't know. I have a feeling this is not coming from Matt Kemp and this is coming more from the Dodgers, but I could be wrong.
If it's coming from the Dodgers, it's absolutely the right choice because whatever they have going right now is working for him perfectly. Both they're playing, they've got the right players in there. And if there's chemistry on the team, I don't really know a whole lot about how these guys are together, but if there's chemistry on the team, then bringing Kemp in and messing with that lineup messes everything up. And I mean, he hasn't played all year, so really nothing hurt, honestly.
No. Yeah. It seems like it kind of flew under the radar. I'm not sure that Matt Kemp would have helped them.
I don't think he would have helped at all. He may have added a little bit extra bat, but not much,
but I'm not sure that he would hurt them. Especially going, I mean, I would say they're going to the World Series. I really don't think the Braves can do much to them. So the NL Central would be the only place that would really hurt them. I don't think the Pirates could beat the Dodgers. I don't think the Reds could beat the Dodgers. I really think the only team that could give them a hard time would be the Cardinals. And I know people are going to get on me because the Reds just took a series from them this weekend, but this isn't the playoffs. It's not the same thing.
And the only thing that comes in with that is there's that playoff, lack of playoff experience from anybody on the Dodgers team, to where St. Louis or Cincinnati, somebody has it. That's why I think that St. Louis or Cincinnati is going to be the best run at the Dodgers. But the Dodgers are just so talented.
Yeah, they're just so good. But I mean, I kind of got off track there. Like the Dodgers, let's say they make it to the World Series, they're going to play games in the American League, so the American League has home field advantage. They're going to need a DH, and I mean, I'm not sure that having a Matt Kemp on your team would be a bad thing. Arguably, though, they also have, I believe, two extra all-star caliber outfielders that don't play every day because they just don't have room.
But here's the deal. When you're in the middle of a playoff run and in the middle of the playoffs, do you really want to be giving a guy swings to shake the rust off?
I mean,
just that DH, because he's essentially not playing. He's just DHing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it could go either way.
It's a bat that you take out of somebody else's hand that's maybe been playing better.
But who would they DH that would really be that much better?
I don't know.
I mean they have a bunch of outfielders. It's a team of outfielders. Yeah. They have like five all-star caliber outfielders on their team. But like, and sure you can swap them in and out, but you're not going to take Puig out.
Yeah, definitely not.
I mean, and he's arguably the hottest bat on the team. So I feel like while he wasn't necessarily going to, like, Matt Kemp wasn't the thing that they needed to make the play or win the World Series, I feel like when you have an expanded roster, you have a 40-man roster, he wouldn't have hurt.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I guess looking at it that way, you're probably right. But I don't know. I'm coming from – my point of view is coming from he hasn't played all year. Why would you put him in there to swing the bat when he hasn't seen live pitching? Well, he's probably seen live pitching. But
I mean, he's going to go through simulated games. I think all minor leagues are over now, but he's going to at least see some simulated games. Sure, it's not the same thing, and it never will be, but I don't know. I think back to, like, the World Series last year, and someone, granted it wasn't from an injury, but someone like Tim Lincecum. Tim Lincecum wasn't a starting pitcher anymore because he couldn't handle it. He went to the bullpen, and he was huge in their World Series win. I mean, coming out of the bullpen. I mean, he was someone who arguably they probably could have won that World Series without Tim Lincecum, but like it was a huge, as I always use the term, icing on the cake for the situation. I mean, it really, really kind of gave them some cushion in those situations.
Yeah, true. I agree. I agree with what you said, but.
We talked about it a little bit, but Bryce Harper's day-to-day sore hip. I have a feeling this is a much bigger deal than what they're leading us to believe. They flew him from, I don't even from the top of my head know where they were at. They might have been here in Chicago or might have been Miami or something like that. They're still on a road trip. They flew him back to Washington to see their doctor. It's not, I mean, if it was something minor, he would just wait and travel with the team and not play. Like, I mean, he's had a lot of injuries this year. Obviously, it wasn't his year. Me and you argued who would have more home runs, Bryce Harper, Adam Dunn. Adam Dunn just his 31st today.
Didn't really work out for me.
Yeah, I should have took money on that bet.
Yeah, too. No, you should have.
But yeah,
I'd have been screwed, yeah.
It's just kind of sad to see for Bryce Harper. As much as I dog him, I really like Bryce Harper. He's fun. He makes the game fun. I went on my rant about Puig last week, and I mean, he's
one of those guys. Yeah,
he's one of those guys that makes the game fun. And
yeah,
sad to see.
Bryce Harper is one of my favorite players. Probably up there in my top, probably three. But yeah, he can't seem to completely get on track this year. Just when he starts hitting and getting on track, or even just getting on track and playing well, something seems to hit him. And like you said, if they flew him from where they are to see doctors, if it were day to day, it probably wouldn't be a big deal. But they have him listed as day to day, and usually that potentially leads to a bigger issue. So they're just trying to wait out to see what's happening, probably. But
should have never ran into that fence.
Yeah, really, that's foreshadowing. Yeah. But if they're gonna make a run, and it's really seriously in doubt right now because time's just slowly ticking away from them. Maybe not slowly, but fast. Ticking away pretty fast for them. They're gonna need every ounce of him that they can get. So I just, for Bryce Harper, it sucks for them. It sucks for the Nats, and just not their year. I mean, I guess that's all I can say about it right now. Just not their year.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Last little bit of National League news we have. This is something I don't really know much about. I wasn't able to find much about, but they talked about it on Baseball Tonight. I thought it was really interesting, and I wanted to know your take on it. We've done good about not talking about PEDs so much lately, or really not about talking about A-Rod or We haven't talked about Ryan Braun in a long time, but Mr. Ryan Braun took the liberty, apparently. All this is allegedly. I don't have anything to back this, so if anybody does, please let us know. But rumor has it he took it upon himself to call one by one every Milwaukee Brewers season ticket holder and apologize for his actions and for not being there and just for everything that he's done. Now, if this is true, and he did it on his own, and it was all, if everything is how it is presented to me, he's a good guy. Way to go. I have trouble believing that is the case, and I do not forgive him. He's a cheater, and he should be banned from the game.
Yeah.
But this is makes him way more of a stand-up guy than someone like A-Rod.
Yeah, I don't know. It's odd to me. Like you said, we don't know if this is completely true. I guess I would take it on good faith to believe it's true because it seems like something that Ryan Braun would do because he's really, I mean, he's doing all he can to try to repair his image. But can you imagine getting a call and answering it and it'd be like, oh, hey, this is Ryan Braun?
If you're a season ticket holder, it's probably not so obscure that a player calls you. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of their fans are not happy. There are fans I've seen that are like, well, they forgive him or whatever, but like, the bulk of the Brewers fan base do not forgive Ryan Braun. And yeah, like you said, I mean, how do you not hang up on that? I mean, I guess I would want to know what he had to say, but like, I mean, if you're a season ticket holder, you're invested in that team.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're not just a fan. I mean, that's an investment. You're putting a, I mean, teams depend on season ticket holders to survive. That's how teams survive, like, is based on season ticket holders. So, I mean, this is a big deal. I mean, you're calling essentially, if we're talking about this being a business, you're calling your investors and apologizing one by one. And, I mean, if he did it all on his own and all, it wasn't like he got a public relations person who was like, you really should do this. But, like, if he really just woke up and he's like, I really need to do this, then awesome. See, way to go.
That's my stance on it as well, and I agree with you wholeheartedly on this. If he really did it just out of the kindness of his heart and calling to apologize and like actually kindly take time to speak to every person who bought season tickets, then hell yeah, very good job on him. But I mean, if you're on that phone call and you're sitting there wondering, man, is this really something he's doing, or is this like, is this something his agent told him to do or his refs told him to do? Like, you just don't know if it's 100% genuine.
And you'll never know because here's at least, I mean, I'm not a Brewers fan and I never really was a Ryan Braun fan way before I even knew that he was a cheater. I just didn't really, I wasn't really that impressed. But like, here's what Ryan Braun is to me. He's a liar and a cheater even before he was caught this time.
And that's why this isn't very believable.
Yeah. So like, how do you trust him? Even if he comes out and I mean, even if it later comes out and somehow we have a way of knowing that he did this all in good faith and honest and trust, how does anybody believe him?
Yeah, you don't. And that's why I said, neither of us know if this is 100% genuine. For all we know, this could have been a publicity scan or a publicity scheme on his part. To where he actually, him and his agent talked about it, and it's all right now. It's all damage control for him, and to me, it made all the sense in the world that he just be gone, like he take his suspension, be gone, not say a word, not show his face, just be gone until training camp next year. And he hasn't done that. He's been very, very visual, very vocal. So I mean, if like you said, if he did it on good faith and just woke up one day and said, "All right, I'm gonna try and do right by all the season ticket holders. I'm gonna call. I'm gonna apologize them. Ask for forgiveness." Tell him it won't ever happen again, then great, because that's what he should be doing. If it's genuine, awesome. But like you said, I have a hard time believing that right now because of what we know and what we know out of the past from him.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been jumping around a little bit today. It's kind of been sporadic as we're talking, but something I wanted to bring up just to rub it in mainly your face, but all Tigers fans' face. The Red Sox the other day beat the Tigers 20-4.
Fuck.
This was without
worst loss of the year.
This was without Miguel Cabrera.
Well, not worst loss, but probably most embarrassing.
Yeah, it was pretty embarrassing. I mean, the Red Sox have been pretty hot lately, and they've been doing pretty good. But
nine homers that night.
Yeah. That was an interesting night. I mean, something we do want to talk about and get into a little bit depth tonight is the American League East. Basically, it's not quite as interesting as the National League, but National League Central, I should say. But there's a pretty interesting, I would say, race going here. The Red Sox are in first, but right now the Rays are taking one of the wild card spots, and the other's coming out of the AL West. But the Orioles, in my opinion, should be there in front of the Rays. And the Yankees aren't, but I believe, because they did win today.
They're a half game behind
Baltimore. Yeah, they're half game behind Baltimore, 1.5 out of the wild card spot, or 2.5 out of the wild card spot. And, I mean, this is a really interesting division. Before we get started, we'd like to bring in a friend of ours.
Our very first female guest, Bullpen Betty, to the show. Betty, thanks for taking some time to talk with us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on. And I'm so proud to be your first female guest.
Yeah, we've needed one for some time now. I've been talking with you for a few weeks to get you on, and it's good to have you on. Obviously, you're a Yankees fan. You run a Yankees podcast, but getting started with our American League Central or American League East conversation, we're going to talk with the Reds about the Red Sox first. Obviously, I just gave Ryan a hard time. They beat the Tigers 20-4 the other day, but something that kind of came across to me today was Ellsbury's has a shoulder injury and is listed day to day, but could be out until at least the playoffs, which could really hurt their team. I mean, he's a big power hitter and could, I mean, big deal for them.
Was it shoulder?
That would be really too bad. That would be horrible if that went awry for them. I would be so sad.
I'm sure you would. But yeah, I mean, this could be a big deal. Obviously, I think with as little time that's left, the Red Sox are pretty much guaranteed to take the division. But
yeah, they're 7.5 up right now. So I mean, and there's only 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks left. I think they're sitting pretty well.
Yeah, but I mean, this could be a big deal for them. We talked a lot about on the show today about Miguel Cabrera being a big deal now that he's out for the Tigers. But how do you feel that this is going to shape or even affect the wild card, which the Yankees are in contention for?
You're asking me, your first female guest?
Yes.
I agree, unfortunately, that Boston, you know, they're just invincible right now. Do they have the best record in all of baseball, in fact?
They may. I think
they're at 600 winning, yeah, percent. They've 87.
Yeah, they're just above Atlanta.
Right. Yeah. So Atlanta's doing great in the National League. But so it's, you know, it's crazy. Their lineup is insane. What I'm you know, mostly concerned about, and granted it might be a little bit of a pipe dream, but, you know, it's not over till the fat lady sings, right? We've got, you know, Tampa, Baltimore, and Cleveland sort of in our way for the wild card. So those are the three teams that Gigo, my sidekick on my Bullpen Betty podcast, and I are keeping our eye on. And interestingly, you know, Baltimore, Cleveland, and New York all have the same number of wins. It's just that New York has one more loss, because they played one more game than Baltimore and Cleveland.
Got ya. I mean, obviously there's pretty good wild card race going on. Probably only one wild card's coming out of this division, because the other one's going to come out of the AL West. But it's kind of been bouncing between Baltimore and the Rays for a while now. But the Yankees have been playing pretty hot for the past couple weeks and seem to be catching up to them at this point. How do you foresee the last 2.5 weeks going?
Well, so we did great against the Chicago White Sox.
Everybody does. Come on.
Well, you know what, though? They swept us when we were in Chicago.
We sure did.
So you never know on any given day. And then, you know, Boston came to town, and they won 3 games in a row, and they were just crazy games, because – it was like we were winning, and then they just tired us out, and then we lost in, like, you know, the last couple innings. Until today, I don't know if you guys caught it, but there was a so-called wild pitch, which really wasn't a wild pitch. I just don't think Salta Lamacchia is a very good catcher, and he missed the ball. And so that was good for us. But, you know, we're going to be in Baltimore for the next 4 games in a row, and then in Boston for 3 after that. And this is no days off for like 16 days in a row or 17 days in a row. So we'll see. The good news is that the end of September, if the end of September matters, we're playing Toronto, San Francisco, Tampa, and Houston. So that's a much easier run than the next week.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the way things started for the Yankees, they started off hot, then they hit that big long skid in the middle, And yep. Now they played their way back into it. I mean, if they're going to make it, what's going to be the thing or what's going to be the catalyst to them to drive them and get them to take over Cleveland or Baltimore?
Well, their bullpen has sort of, I guess, gotten really tired and fallen apart somewhat, and they keep bringing Jabba Chamberlain in, which is just like the kiss of death. And, you know, they moved Phil Hughes into the bullpen too, and he pitched the other night and didn't do so well. So I feel like the bullpen needs like reinvigorating. I think that the lineup finally, with, you know, bringing Soriano in and A-Rod has really ignited the offense, and it really has given Cano the ability to do what he's been doing. So I just think it's the bullpen that needs to be carefully handled.
Is that going to be an issue if for some reason if New York is to be catapulted into that playoff spot? Are they going to be so taxed from trying to get there and their bullpen going to be drained that they won't have anything left?
Yeah, well, so Gigo and I were talking about that. It's like we just want them to get into the playoffs. I don't think we really think they're going to like go and beat Boston or Detroit or whatever, you know. But it would just be if they got into there. I mean, Girardi would be like manager of the year then, right?
Yeah. Got to be in contention.
Yeah, I mean,
I've been saying it all along. Once somebody's into the playoffs, all bets are off. Anything can happen.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true. But they're really putting it all in there, I think, right now. I mean, it's a lot of effort. And, you know, these guys are like 50 years old.
Yeah. You talked a little bit a couple minutes ago about the bullpen. Even though I am a self-admitted Yankees hater, I do like Mariano Rivera, and he has struggled as of late. Mm-hmm. Do you think this is just, like you said, fatigue, or is there something to his struggles lately?
Well, he struggled, you know, quote, struggled a little today, right?
He
got a let a home run go. But, you know, we're talking about the Boston Red Sox, so their lineup is crazy. Otherwise, nothing else happened, right? And there was no other real, like, damaging hit except for this one home run. And then the last game that he pitched, they were like, oh, he blew that save. But actually, I think that the pivotal moment was when there was a Jeter missed the ball, and they were trying to get the guy stealing second, if you remember, and the ball went into the outfield.
Yep.
So that definitely messed up Mo's mojo.
Yeah, I mean,
unintended. So I don't really know. I mean, yeah, the guy's, you know, 43 years old, whatever. I don't think that he's pitching badly. I just think that that some of these teams have, you know, crazy base running abilities and offense, and I don't know who would have been able to hold that down. The worst thing I saw this year having to do with was the Mets in the beginning in like May when he blew the save against the New York Mets. Like, it was crazy. That was the worst, and that was in May. So, you know, I'm going to Mariano Rivera Day, which is on the 22nd.
Wait, can I just stop you there? I heard a rumor Metallica might make an appearance. Is that true?
I was just going to say, and the reason why I'm going is that, well, beyond that it's Mariano Rivera Day, is that Metallica is rumored to be playing, my friend who I'm going with told me that, well, not only because he read it, but also Metallica is playing at the Apollo in New York City the night before. So they're
going to
be in
there.
Town.
Yeah, they're going to be there. I mean, that would be so cool.
That would be the biggest thing I've ever seen. Probably
right.
The coolest thing I've ever seen.
So Bullpen Betty is going.
That's awesome.
Well, hey, send us a picture.
I will. I think I have the worst seat in the house, but they were so expensive, the tickets, that we were just like, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, just being there will be completely worth it. Obviously, we talked a little bit about how it plays out or how it may play out. What are your feelings about the Rays and the Orioles? I said it a little bit before we had you on, but I kind of don't think that the Rays deserve it. They played kind of like shit for the beginning of the season. Now they're not even doing that well. David Price came back from his injury really hot, but his last two or three starts haven't been so great. I'd really like to see the Orioles if it's not the Orioles or the Yankees over the Rays, in my opinion.
Well, definitely the we always have problems with the Rays when we're in Tampa. Like, it's really challenging for the Yankees to beat the Rays, but we managed to, I think, a couple times the last time out there. What really bothers me about the Rays is that they stopped calling themselves the Devil Rays.
Pretty salty about that, huh?
This is ridiculous. But and the Orioles, I mean, they're just a great team. They have a great stadium. I kind of agree with you. Of course, I want the Yankees to be in there. But you know, and last year we battled it out with the Orioles too in the end. So I think I like the Orioles better as a team than Tampa as well. I mean, Tampa, Florida, who cares, you know?
they don't care about it. They have the worst attendance in baseball.
No, there's like 8 people in the stadium. It's worse than Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, do you think MLB really wants to put that stadium on display in the playoffs? That'd be awful.
It's terrible. It's like the AstroTurf or whatever they're calling it now. I hate those stadiums.
I can't blame teams for going in there and losing, probably because they're so bored to death by what they're seeing in that stadium.
I can't believe you said that, because I have said, I'm like, the reason why the Yankees lose there is it's so aesthetically unpleasing, they're just disgusted by having to play there.
Yeah, it's crazy. Overall, the Yankees stand a chance. I will go on a limb, and you will hate me for this, to say that they are probably not going to make it.
Well, you guys are kind of being generous. I know you want to, like, curse and scream and you know, talk about how much you hate the Yankees. So.
Well, Ryan's not as much of a Yankees hater as he used to be. He jumped on the bandwagon a little bit this year, but I am a full-out hater. And
you suggested that they should hit A-Rod in every game that he plays in.
Absolutely. Every at-bat. He should never be able to swing the baseball bat again. Yeah,
don't you think that perspective, when I heard that, I said that you guys really needed to have me on as a female in this, because that's just bad karma, and don't you think that will come back and haunt you somehow?
No.
He doesn't care. You're not going to win this argument.
No. He is what's wrong with baseball, period.
Well, I'm no lover. I never was a lover of his, but I have to say he kind of has injected something into the way the team is playing since he's been back.
But would you give that credit to him, or would you give that to Alfonso Soriano?
I'll give more credit to Soriano, for sure. I want to adopt Soriano as, like, my own. He's amazing. I'm so happy.
You know what it is? That's part of my thing, too, is I'm so nostalgic over Soriano being there, Jeter, and then the whole thing with Mariano going on, that I think that's part of why I like the Yankees so much this year. Is it just, it takes you back to when you liked the Yankees a while ago, and not so much, like,
that never happened.
I was gonna say, this guy's never liked the Yankees.
Yeah. That never happened. Babe Ruth played for the Yankees when I liked the Yankees.
Oh, yeah. He hates so much on the Yankees.
I do. I really do.
I know. So many people do, but I understand why. You know, the envy runs deep.
I don't know if it's envy. I don't know that I would go that far, but I am a hater. Self-admitted hater. It's hard for me to like them, but I have multiple times throughout our show, mainly earlier in the year when they were really hot at the beginning, given them a lot of credit for playing very well without their key players.
What, in April?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. When they were doing very well, I gave them a lot of credit. I do think Girardi deserves a lot of recognition for what he's done this year. He's handled the A-Rod situation very well, and he's overall handled everything very well. So I am a hater, but I'm a hater just based on being a hater, and I admit a lot of it I can't really back this year because they've been good, and overall, there's not much to hate other than A-Rod at this point. So,
you hate him the most and like Mo the best had to pick.
I would say if I had to like three Yankees of all time, Babe Ruth, Derek Jeter, and Mariano Rivera.
All right, so
Josh
two of them are on the
Mariano.
Current team.
Yeah,
he really loves Mariano Rivera, and it's odd because he hates the Yankees so much.
Everybody likes Mo.
Exactly. Mo doesn't have that arrogance that the rest of that team does, though. He is so humble and just – there's not that arrogance, that assholeness to him that a lot of the rest of that team has.
Okay, but if you have paid any close attention to any part of Bullpen Betty, you'll know who her favorite player is. Do you know?
I do not.
So Curtis Granderson.
Oh man.
He does not have that arrogance of which you speak.
Curtis Granderson is one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet.
Okay.
I have met many times.
I saw the pictures.
You did see them. Yeah. I know. He's having a little trouble with the bat right now, but all that being said,
when he was here in Detroit, he was always one of the fan favorites, and he was actually a favorite player of mine, and a lot of people liked him not only because of what he did on the field, because he was such a great guy off the field. He did a lot in the community, and a lot of people had a hard time when he left because of that, and myself included.
He is he has his own foundation called Grand Kids, and he is building like a stadium in the city in Chicago for, you know, kids, a baseball stadium, because he's originally from Chicago, as you, I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
He's you know, he's a college graduate. He's just he really is quite kind of head and shoulders above your typical baseball player.
Yeah, that's
in my humble opinion.
I mean, it's always good to hear things like that from any player. I mean, even if you came out and told me A-Rod does all these great things, which he does not, but I would be like, wow, that's really great that he does those things. He's still a cheater and a liar, but that's really great.
And you hate
but Curtis
player.
Granderson is neither a cheater nor a liar.
I will give you that.
I know he's – but, you know, all of my friends are tormenting me that he won't be playing for the Yankees next year, so
– he probably will not.
I don't know what I'm going to do exactly. I don't know if I'm going to – I don't know. The reason why I got back into baseball is because of him when he was traded to the Yankees.
Really?
That's it, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a big deal for me. So we're not quite sure where the show's going next year after.
Well,
I don't know who he's going to play for, though.
Yeah, I have no idea.
He's from Chicago.
Yeah, it would be nice to see him. I mean, I don't like the Cubs either, but it would be nice to see him here. I mean, I don't think the Cubs are going to spend the money, though. Old Theo Epstein's all about the prospects.
Yeah, yeah, well.
I don't think he's going to spend money.
He's 32, I guess, now, so.
Yeah, he's not getting any younger.
Who is, besides me?
True story. hey, I do have one last question for you here. Okay. And being in New York, you've heard it. You've probably heard it, and it's probably going around. Is Mariano coming back next year?
Well, you know, I keep hearing Joe talking. They're like, Joe, you're trying to get him to stay. And he's like, well, I'm not trying to get him to stay. I'm just saying he doesn't have to retire if he doesn't want to. I think it would be a little weird because he went to all of the stadiums.
Yeah, he'd have to give up all the gifts back, right?
Right. Yeah, everybody had all these, like, Mariano Rivera days and Mo presents and all that. And then he's going to be like, just kidding. It would sort of be like, you know, Cher, her last concert. But I mean, I don't know. I think maybe quit while you're ahead, right?
He said that in a few interviews.
Yeah,
too,
that interview he did with Joe Buck for Fox the weekend of the All-Star game, and that's what he said. He said he doesn't want to come back because he wants to feel like he's going out on top, and that he can still play at a high level. He doesn't want to be one of those guys. He hangs around way past the time when he should, and he just kind of fades out.
Right.
I think that's probably the thing for him. It's almost a pride thing where he wants to know that he went out as one of the greats and not just have this, like, he was really great for this long period of time. And then there's those few years at the end where it's just like, oh, let's just forget that and sweep it under the
right.
table.
He's the only player on the Yankees now. Well, he's the oldest and the only one born in the 60s.
Wow.
That's old, huh? So, you know, then you've got Andy Pettit, who has, you know, been streaky this year. And he actually has pitched well the last two games, but then, you know, the whole thing blows up when the bullpen comes in. So he's the other one that's sort of like, dude, maybe it's time. I don't know.
Absolutely.
So I think that Mo should probably bow out because of that being on top, and also because it would be weird after all of the hoopla this year
to not
leave.
Yeah, he'd have to give back that really badass chair from the Twins. That rocket chair is awesome.
That really was awesome.
So, and then, you know, if Metallica plays for him when I go,
yeah,
how are they going to top that?
Yeah, you can't do that a second time. I agree.
Yeah.
Well, Betty, that's all the questions we have for you today. We'd like to thank you for coming on, spending some time with us, and having a good time, really.
Thank you so much for having me on. It was really fun.
Before we let you go, would you like to tell everybody where they can find you and your podcast on the internet?
I would love to. Thank you for offering that. So, yes, it's Bullpen Betty, and I have a podcast on Podomatic, which is bullpenbetty.podomatic.com. And I'm also on Facebook, facebook.com/bullpenbetty. That's B-E-T-T-Y. So you can get on there and like me. And I have a Twitter feed, twitter.com/bullpenbetty. And I even have a website, bullpenbetty.com.
Awesome. Thanks for talking with us today, giving us a little bit of insight on American League East, and taking time out of your evening to chat with us.
Great. Super. Thanks so much, you guys.
Thanks, Betty.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, that's our show for the week. We'd like to thank Bullpen Betty for taking some time out of her day to come and chat with us. And also, just a reminder, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Wood with Handles.
Once you're there, wherever you listen to this, whether it be iTunes or YouTube, Stitcher, however you consume this podcast, like us, thumbs up, share it. A lot of these things take one click, and it'll help us a lot more than you guys even could possibly realize.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Josh. Thanks for listening, everybody.